Well, it's good to see everybody tonight, and we're going to have a good time in the Lord. And again, just to re-express the vision of what we're doing here is we are breaking down denominational and racial barriers by joining together and worshiping in one accord. Amen. Doing things the way God would have them done. So get prepared for a good night, because when we do this, the Spirit of the living God just fills this place up, and we are filled with joy overflowing. I believe God's got some good stuff for us tonight. So let's stand on our feet. Amen. And let's pray together. Amen. Hey, Boston, good to see you, buddy. All right. Father, we thank you tonight that we can join together in one accord, with one heart, with one mind, and one spirit. And we thank you that the Spirit of the living God has already been poured out on all flesh. The Holy Ghost of promise has filled this room already. And we're going to receive good things from heaven tonight. We thank you for life and life more abundantly. Peace and grace and joy filling us up from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, so that, Lord, we can be more empowered to let our light so shine before the world and be an example in Christ Jesus. And we invite you into this place, Lord. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Have your way in our lives tonight. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for you are worthy of all the glory, of all the praise. Amen. So we lift our hands up to you right now, and we give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor, because you are faithful who promised, and you also will do it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
let's put our hands together and give the Lord praise in this house. Come on, give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we worship You. We bless You and we praise You. Hallelujah. For truly there is no God like You. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like our God. For our God is a rock. Our God is our fortress, our deliverer, a strong tower. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we praise Him tonight. And everyone shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You enjoyed the worship tonight.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 The scripture says, remember this, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient time those things which are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's the kind of God we serve tonight. He said, I do whatever I want to do. Who's going to stand against me? Who's going to stop the counsel of the Lord? Hallelujah. He said, I called the ravenous bird from the east and the man who will execute my counsel from a far country. Have I spoken it? I'll also bring it to pass. Have I purposed it? I'll also do it. That's what God says. I said, that's what God says. That's what God says. The next move of God on the horizon, the next move of God on the agenda of heaven, amen. We've seen the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Azusa 1906 in California. And now you got tongue talkers all across the board. Hello, I said you got Catholics speaking in tongues. You got Methodists speaking in tongues. You got some Pentecostals still speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Baptists are speaking in tongues. Come on, Episcopalians are speaking in tongues. But the next thing on God's agenda, and is this, when the body of Christ come together as one. Come on, somebody. No longer male nor female. No longer Jew nor Greek. No longer bound or free. But we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For by one blood has He made all nations of people. But He didn't send another who came and shed His blood that we might return back to that one people. And that one is Jesus Christ. You love the Lord tonight? I said, do you love the Lord? Amen. Why don't you go to two or three people, amen, and just greet them in the name of the Lord. Amen. We've got First Assembly over here. Amen. Pastor Jeff Morris. Amen. You got, amen, Christ Temple All Cultures Ministry over here. Amen. Pastor by Bishop Emmett Bright. You got, hallelujah, High Point here in the middle. Amen. Pastor by Pastor Trey Dickinson. And you know what? But we need to just mix it up. Amen. We just need to mix it up. Glory to God. Meet somebody you don't know. Meet a new friend. Meet a new brother. Meet a new sister in Christ.
Hallelujah, man. God bless you. So good to see you as well. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, give me an all-time religion. Give me an all-time religion. It makes me love one another. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Praise God. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Get the phone number. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. What an awesome God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. This is the family of God. I say this is the family of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, this is the family of God. All God's children. Praise God. Worshiping Him in one place with one accord. Amen. I'm happy tonight to welcome to this wonderful fellowship. Amen. A friend the Lord allowed me to cross paths with, and he and I have become joined at the hip. Amen, and praise God. He almost got on the same shirt I got on tonight. Amen, praise God. And we met at the Beloved Community Breakfast, I believe it was. Amen, and at that breakfast, he and I connected, and we've been connected ever since that day. And we've also joined met together at the Pastor's Luncheon that's at the Old Times, and it's not hard to meet at Old Times. Amen. Praise God, especially when they're footing the bill too, you know. Amen. But Pastor Morris, amen. Jeff Morris, amen. Pastor of First Assembly, amen, of God. They're off of Tucker Road here in our beloved community of Macon, Georgia. Amen. Pastor, you ain't got to say nothing. Just stand and let them see who, so they don't have to worry about guessing who I'm talking about. Amen. That's my brother. Amen. Praise God. That's my brother. From another mother. Praise God. Amen. We kin, but we're not twin. Amen. Praise God. I love you. Thank God for his wife, Michelle, also being here, and the church family. Why don't First Assembly just stand? Let everybody know who you are. Amen. Come on, fellowship. Let's thank God for their being here. Come on, give them a greeting. Let them know we're happy that you come to be a part of this setting with us. Amen. Amen. We want you to, amen, with agreement with Pastor Trey, we want to take part in this, don't we? Amen. We want to take part in this, amen, that we just begin to show the world what the church really is supposed to look like and act like and be like, because that's what we are like. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're learning how to love one another and walk together in faith by the grace of God. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Amen. I do want to put this plug in real quick before I get out of the way and let Pastor Trey come and give us what God has given to him. Amen. Brother Ned, amen. If you don't know Brother Ned, Ned, stand up. Praise God. He's the antagonizer, amen, of the group. Praise God. He has carried a passion in his heart for years, amen, and that is to keep a counsel, a purpose, a design of the enemy out of our city, amen. And you probably seen the yellow signs all across town now, and it says no scars, no scars. Boy, isn't it amazing that the enemy didn't know what he was giving us? He put a tool in our hands, amen, when he just used those acronyms, amen, scars, because God don't want us to have scars.
Yeah, that's what I said, scalp. Come on, man. I just got the one letter wrong, right? One letter, okay. Scalp. Yeah, but don't a scalp come from a scar? A scar come from a scalp. Okay, either way, it leaves a bad mark on you, right? Amen. God don't want no bad marks on us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what I'm talking about is that there's an effort being pushed and in our city to have a clinic. And a clinic is supposed to be a place where you go and get help and go get health. Amen. Where you go and increase your health. Amen. But this particular clinic, amen, is also wanting to do abortions. Amen. And we as believers believe that every child is born with a purpose. Amen. Before they come out of the womb, God has already ordained a plan and purpose for their life. And so that we don't believe that a life should be taken away, amen, even in the womb. Amen. And so therefore, Ned and others, amen, have been approaching our system, approaching our judicial system about the illegal way that we see that they came in to our city. And we believe in God that God's going to drive them right back out. Amen. Praise God. Say, we believe God's going to drive them right back out. Hallelujah. 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 Why? Because we don't want any other women, amen, have to live the rest of their lives with a scab. A scab from what they did years ago that never healed. Amen. Praise God. And so I encourage you to be prayerful with them. There's a prayer meeting that goes on each Monday there on at 833 Walnut Street, 7 a.m. Amen. Let the sheiks go and go pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Join with them. Join with us in prayer. Amen. For this cause. The Lord gave me a word for that in behalf of that. How many of you know that life and death is in the power of our tongue? And I'm going to keep moving when I read this. But in chapter 33 of Psalms, it says this: let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to nothing. Amen. He maketh the plans of the people of none effect. That's the God that we're serving. They've got a plan. They've got a counsel that they're trying to push into our city. But our God is standing. And our God said, amen, will bring their counsel to naught. I'll make their plans to come of none effect. Hallelujah. How many believe that God can stop and will stop this abortion from coming to Bibb County, Georgia? Come on, stand on your feet if you believe that. I want to make a decree here tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, by according to your word, you said life and death is in the power of our tongue. And Father, we speak death to this clinic that's coming to take life from people, from innocent babies, innocent mothers, God. We speak death to that system. We speak death to that counsel. We speak death to that plan that it will not prosper. It will not succeed in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory for it. We dispatch angels. We dispatch the heavenly host to go out and fight in the heavenlies, oh God, to overthrow the plan of the enemy against the innocent babies in the womb of mothers. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. You said the heart of the king is in your hand as the rivers of water, and you turn it whithersoever you will. So turn the heart of the judge that has the oversight of this case. Let his heart be turned to the righteousness of God in Jesus' name. And everybody shout amen. 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 Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise, and you can be seated as we prepare to bring Pastor Dickerson up. I'm excited. He has a word from the Lord, and we're going to be tremendously blessed here tonight from what God is going to say to us. How many of you know God's going to speak to us tonight? Amen. Amen. This is a unity service, and we're, again, promoting unity. I shared with the group of pastors of what God showed me, and it was a big rock, and this rock was being... Yeah, everybody behind you said, you know, They just couldn't see. This big rock needed to be removed. So one man came along and he took a hammer, a sledgehammer, and he struck the rock and nothing happened. A few months later, another man came along, seeing the same rock and the importance of it being moved. He took a sledgehammer and he struck that rock and nothing happened. And it went on for several months and several years. Men that groups that would see this rock and they'd come and take the sledgehammer and they would strike it and nothing seemed to happen. Then all of a sudden, one gentleman came along, or one group came along, took that same sledgehammer, and they struck, and it struck the rock. Boom! And the rock just crumbled. And the question is, which one broke the rock? And the answer is, all of them did. Because every time someone took a strike at the rock, or hit the rock, they were weakening that rock. Come on, I say they were weakening that rock. And every time we come together in unity, every time we come together in worship, every time we come together in praise unto our God and for the cause of unity, guess what we're doing? We're weakening this rock that's in Macon, Georgia, and in Middle Georgia, amen, where they're saying that we can't come together. We cannot unite. We cannot worship in one place, in one accord. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar and Jesus is the Messiah. Come on, somebody. And we're tonight, we're taking another strike at the rock because we're going to see that rock broken in this generation. Hallelujah. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? If not here, then where? Need to be right here. And we have a God that told us that all things are possible to them that believe. So I want you to put your thinking cap on. Prepare to hear what God is going to say to us, because he's going to, amen, speak to us about the power and the importance of our being unified. I don't want to preach. Listen, you know me. Can I give you a one misconception of unity that the devil has sold the church? And because he's pushed that envelope, amen, it's got us kind of off balance. And the misconception is this. That if you've got a congregation that's all white, or you have a congregation that's all black, or all Spanish, whatever, you know, that means that you're a racist. No. That means you're prejudiced. No. No. You don't become prejudiced or racist until you will not allow someone of another race to come into your congregation. But the last I read, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations or all people. Amen. So we don't want to close our doors to anyone. Amen. And because your congregation may be all white, you're not prejudiced, though you know all you're racist. Because our congregation may be all black, we're not prejudiced, nor are we racist. Amen. I believe every pastor, every genuinely called man of God have a desire to have all races come and be a part of the assembly. Amen. Amen. But you can't make people come. Huh? But you can open the door. And that's what we're doing here tonight. We're saying let's open our doors on the south side, here on the west side, on the east side, north side of Macon. Let's open the doors of the church that all men, women, boys, and girls can be saved. Amen.
Praise God. Well, I just want to echo what Bishop was exhorting us to pray about and focus on, is coming against and putting a firm foot down to stand against that abortion clinic that they've been trying to put in down here. But at the same time, I'm a proponent of absolutely trying to abort all the works of the devil that has been sown for years. Amen. So let's work so much at this that we leave a scab and a scar on him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And that's what we've been doing. Amen. You know, the word that I've been getting regarding these meetings is that we are laying one brick at a time. We're building a house here. There's a spiritual effect that's taking place from these meetings, and it's just being one brick at a time, just like Nehemiah's wall. Amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, about how this house is going to get built. Amen. So let's turn in our Bibles to Zechariah Zechariah, that's over there where our pages are stuck together. One of the minor prophets, amen, with a major truth that we need to understand. Zechariah chapter 3, it's after the book of Haggai and right before Malachi. Amen. How many of you are thankful for what we're doing here and you sense the Lord's pleasure in what He's doing here? That's the word I just keep hearing, and we've heard it already tonight. The Lord has great pleasure in what we are doing here. You know what that means? He's smiling about it. He's actually happy. He's sitting on His throne and just smiling down at us, and just saying, that's my boy, that's my girl. They are doing what I have had in my heart all along. Just like Jesus prayed and said, Father, make them one, even as You and I are one. Now that's some high standards right there, amen? He wants us to be as one as God the Father and God the Son are, amen? So what's that going to take? A little bit of dying to ourself, our own desires, our doctrines, and all the different things that we squabble about? We're going to have to learn to lay some things aside to be able to do that, amen? But I believe there's a spirit of unity in this place. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You tonight for this spirit of unity that we sense in this place. And we thank You that tonight is just another brick being laid in this spiritual house. And there is great things being accomplished in Your saints. That as we come and gather together, I just believe the devil is absolutely upset about everything that's happening here. But that's too bad. Because Lord, we know that You're doing a good work. And we give You glory and honor and praise for this good work. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Well, let's look at Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah, the fourth chapter, and we're going to read through these verses, and I'm going to comment on a couple of them. It says, now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me, as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. How many of you know it's time for us to wake up? And that's the biggest problem with the church. We've been made spiritually alive, but the problem is the majority of the church is still sleeping. In fact, hold your place here, and let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me take you to something and let you see what the Lord would say to us tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's given us a great exhortation here. And he says, beginning in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Somebody say this with me. Say, I am light in the Lord. We're no longer darkness anymore. Amen. So you once were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, there's a big difference between how you actually walk, how you behave, how you conduct yourself, and who you really are. Amen? And that's what He's exhorting us to do. Behave like the light you are. And then He says, for the fruit of the Spirit, some translations say the fruit of the light, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And notice this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, many times we read that and we think the way we do the exposing is by going and saying something. But how many of you have learned that when you became light in the Lord, maybe you went to work one day and you didn't talk nothing about Jesus, you didn't raise your hands and say, run die, shun die, tie my bow tie, you didn't do nothing like that, and then people all of a sudden saying, well, they're just condemning me, they're judging me, and you didn't even say nothing. You know why that is? Because it's the light that's in you is being rejected by the darkness that's in them. And you don't necessarily have to say anything to expose it. And I believe that's what He's exhorting here. Live like the light you are and expose the darkness just by your lifestyle. Amen. We all the time think we got to go around saying something. And sometimes we stick our foot in our mouth just like Peter did. You know what? We need to learn just to live it out in front of people. And then it makes our witness more credible. Amen. Notice what He says then. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, And Christ will give you light. Now listen, you know, my dad, and I know some people probably did this afternoon. How many of you wives saw your husband take a nap this afternoon? He was leaning back on the recliner and he was taking a nap, and you went over there to put your hand up under his nose. Is he still breathing? It's hard to tell sometimes when somebody's just sleeping or when they're dead. There's not big difference, is there, sometimes, right? And that's the way it is in the spirit. When we are asleep, we look and sound like the world, which is dead. Amen. So what's he telling us right here? Wake up! Get out of that recliner, amen, and start walking and being manifest for Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. So we can be asleep, and it's time for us to wake up. And I believe that's what we're doing here. We're having a process right now of waking up to what is true, what is good, and what is light. God's waking us up. Say, God's waking me up. Now hit your neighbor to the side of you and say, wake up. Amen. Now, I was joking around. I told somebody earlier, I said, man, don't fall asleep while I'm preaching. I have been known to go and walk up next to somebody that had dozed off and just drop my Bible right on the floor right next to them and wake them up. Isn't that cold? Well, we need to wake up. Praise God. So now the angel who talked with me came back. We're back in Zechariah now. And wakened me as a man who was waking out of his sleep. And notice what he said. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Now, much debate has been made on what this lampstand and all the lamps are. But I think you can let Scripture interpret Scripture, amen? And all you got to do is hold your place here and go over to Revelation, and I'll show you exactly what this lampstand is. Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 9. Hallelujah. This is good stuff right here now. You getting ready? You got your shouting clothes on? If you don't, repent and change, amen. Because this is exciting. It says in Revelation 1:9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, you know other people have gone to islands for other reasons. You understand that? He said it was for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. It wasn't because I was a loudmouth and I didn't know when to shut up and had no wisdom. Amen. Sometimes those things happen. Let me get off that. And then it says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. And notice this verse. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Amen. So the lampstand is always symbolic of God's chosen people in this dispensation, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want to draw your attention to is not the fact that we're called the lampstand. What I want to draw your attention to is that we are, in God's eyes, the golden lampstands. Now, if you go on to read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you read about these seven churches, you come to find out real quick they got a lot of problems. There was only one church that really never got criticized for anything. The rest of them, they were rebuked for this, and they were commended for some things, but a lot of them were corrected for other things. Yet, this is what's awesome. The church of Philadelphia, which had no problems that he noted, was not the only one that was golden. They were all gold in God's eyes. So somebody say this with me. Say, I am golden. The most precious commodity we have on this earth. And in God's mind, the most precious commodity is this. His church is golden. That's why he's not big on nobody talking about us too much. You understand that? When people put their mouth on it, see, I always tell, I've had people come to me and they'll criticize other ministers or other churches and things like that. And I say, watch out now. You better be willing to bet your life you're right, because it might cost you that. God thinks we're precious. God thinks we're valuable. God thinks we're golden, even with our imperfections, failures, and flaws. Amen. Isn't that good news right there? So this, he's referring to the church over in Zechariah. Go back over there and let me show you something. Zechariah chapter 4. Glory to Jesus. We give you praise for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are golden in your sight and that never changes. Amen. Then he says in verse 3, two olive trees are by it. By what? That lampstand, and it's seven lamps. One at the right of the bowl, and the other at its left. Now, back in their days, you understand, they hadn't invented the light bulb yet. They didn't have electricity back then. So what was it that powered the lamps for them? It was olive oil. So when he makes reference here to the olive trees that's there, this is more than just having just enough olive oil. The Amplified Bible says this: there were two olive trees by it, continuously feeding it with oil. So we're talking about a continuous flow, a continuous supply of the thing that was needed to empower that lamp to continue to burn. Amen. And we're going to get more into what these things are. In fact, I'll go ahead and tell you what they are. He asked at the end of this, if you skip verse 11, look at this. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he said, these are the two anointed ones. Say anointed ones. Who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Now again, much debate is made on what these two anointed ones that he's referring to here is. But I believe it's symbolic of the two anointed ones we have under our new and better covenant. Amen. Because notice that he says they stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. So this is something that's on equal footing with God himself. So who are we referring to? Well, God's a Trinity, right? You got God the Father. Who do you got next to him? God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, and the Holy Spirit, his anointing. So what is it that feeds the church with a continuous supply of oil that our light may so shine before men and we burn bright for the glory of God? It is the Holy Spirit of promise and the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace that comes from both of them that causes us to burn bright for him. Amen. And we'll get more into that in a moment. And then he says, back in verse 4, so I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, well, I might have an idea of what these might be, Lord. You know, it'd be like kind of if I was mentioning a scripture to Boston here, my friend, and, you know, and he asked me a question regarding a scripture. He said, what does this scripture mean to you? And I said, you don't know what this means? Well, I might have an idea what it means. You know, our pride just hates that. We don't like to say these three words. I don't know. But the key I want you to get, this is the key to getting more from God, is if you don't know, you don't know. And that's reality. And humility is the key to getting more grace. Say more grace. And the Bible says over in James chapter 4, but he gives more grace. As it is written, God resists the proud. We don't need divine resistance, do we? What do we need? Divine assistance. And he gives grace to the humble. To those who recognize their need for God and are willing to just say, call it like it is. God, if it's going to get done, it's going to have to be you.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I'm sure Bishop can echo me on this. Some of the greatest experiences I've ever had with the Lord and his grace on my life is when I felt the weakest. It's the principle of Paul's thorn, amen? Everybody gets hung up. What's Paul's thorn? What's Paul's thorn? Everybody wants to know what Paul's thorn is. That's not the point. The point is, what do you get if you got a thorn? He gives power to the weak. Amen. If you are without strength, there's more power that can come, more grace that can come. Why? Because you're going to depend on God, amen. If I had my brother Grant standing right up here right now, and I just put my hand on him, just leaned on him a little bit, I'm getting a little bit of his strength. What if I just fell back in his arms? I'm going to get more of his strength. The more I learn to lean on everlasting arms, more grace I get from him. Amen. So I say all that to say, stay humble. You know, as we get to pursuing God, God's going to pour on some power. Now I'm speaking prophetically. Listen to this. God's pouring out more power. We're experiencing more anointing. He's taking us to higher levels. But with elevation and exaltation comes the temptation to think I'm all that in a bag of chips and to take some of the glory. You got to stay humble, realizing you got where you're at by grace and you're not the one maintaining yourself there. Amen. So he said, no, my Lord, I don't know. I have no idea what these are. So the Lord said to him, listen to this. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now, who is this Zerubbabel? This was the governor of Judah that had been given the task to rebuild the great glory of Solomon's temple. An awesome task indeed. How is he ever going to be able to accomplish the same thing that was accomplished by Solomon? And so this is the word God's given to this man. Now, so Zerubbabel would just basically describe anybody who has on their heart to do anything glorious and great for God. Then you're a Zerubbabel if you've got that on your heart. And you should have that on your heart. To go higher, to do more, to have the same works of Jesus provided through you. Amen. And if you are a Zerubbabel, this is a word for you. So let's look what he says. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So let's bring this down home. He's talking to Zerubbabel. When he says not by might, the Hebrew word that's used for might here describes collective strength. Collective strength. Like your resources, the people that you have, it's not going to be by how many people you got helping you, Zerubbabel. It's not going to be by how much money you got to fund and underwrite what you're doing, Zerubbabel. It's not going to be by that. See, and I got this when I was preparing today. Some people in here said, if I just had more money, Lord, I could do this for you. Well, I think it was the great R.W. Shambach who's gone on to be with the Lord said this, said, you don't need more money. All you need is faith in God. Yes. Well, if I just had more people serving in the church and I had more people helping me, you don't need more people serving. All you need is faith in God. Amen. Well, if I just had more of an education, you don't need more of an education. All you need is faith in God. Faith Faith in God is what moves mountains. Faith in God is what apprehends grace. Faith in God is what will do what you could never have done in the arm of the flesh. It's what will empower you to receive from the Lord. So it's not by might. It's not by your collective strength, nor by power, which is a reference to individual strength. It ain't how smart you are, Zerubbabel. It ain't been how much experience you've had. Amen. I remember when I came to start pastoring this church. You know, as you can tell, I'm pretty young. Amen. I was even younger when I came here. No experience pastoring. No experience doing a lot of things. But that don't matter. The world tells you, you got to have all this stuff. God says, all you need is help me. Faith in God. That's all you need. And he'll empower you. Amen. What do you need? The Spirit of the living God. And that's the word to every Zerubbabel out there. Anybody who wants to do something for the Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 7. Notice the next thing he says. Who are you, O great mountain? Now, I want you to just notice here. You don't need to know Hebrew to know what this means. Basically, what he's saying here, he's talking smack with the mountain. Do you see that? He's basically disdaining the mountain itself. Who are you? You know, we don't have to be obnoxious and get in people's face, but I'm telling you, when people say you can't do that and you ain't got that and all those different things, you don't have to get in their face and try to make them feel bad. But I'll just tell you, sometimes people, I've had to tell people this before, they say, I don't like you. I say, I don't care. And the only time we get all upset when people don't like us and people get their feelings hurt with us and all this kind of stuff, and the only time it throws us, hear me now, is because we care about more what they think than what God thinks. It usually goes over about like that. That was more amens than I expected. But that's true. It is. Because listen, if you esteem what God says about you, then I'm telling you, and you put the amount of weight in honor upon his word, it don't matter what anybody ever says or does to you. I remember when the Lord said this to me. I was working at this bank in Watkinsville, Georgia, and I had this immediate supervisor. She didn't like me for whatever reason. I was like, she must not have known me if she didn't like me. Amen. Well, she didn't like me, and she treated me bad. And I remember I was just whining, driving home on my lunch break that day, and I was like, God, why doesn't she like me? I wish that she liked me. Me. You know, just having a little pity party. Listen to what the Lord said to me. He said, Trey, why do you care if no one else ever casts their vote for you when I've already elected you? You understand, amen, the greatest electoral vote that has ever existed, Almighty Yahweh, the great God Jehovah, cast his vote for you and said, they are mine, says the Lord, in the day I make them my precious jewels. If that were living in our heart and we really believe that, then one of his creation says something about us, we'd be like, whatever. Whatever. Amen. It changes it all. I'm telling you, saints, because he has chosen you. And he has elected you, glory to God. So who are you, O great mountain? Now, I want you to notice something here. He says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Now, who is this angel that's given this prophetic word to Zechariah talking to here? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the mountain. Do you see that? Now, does that sound a little familiar to something else we see in the Bible? How about Haggai 11, 23 and 24? Yeah, one person got that. I'm talking about Mark 11, 23 and 24. Most people think Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland wrote that. But Jesus is the one that said that. And somebody sitting out there right now saying, oh, you're one of those? Yes, baby. When I came out of my spiritual womb, amen, I started straight out of there chewing Copeland Hagin. Ding! But it's scripture, amen. It is what the Lord said. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, you can say to this mountain right here, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. He didn't say go to God and say, God, please remove this mountain for me. It's too hard. No, he said, you go talk to the mountain. Don't talk to God about the mountain. Talk to the mountain about God. Amen. Have the faith of God. Glory be to Jesus. Say, all you need is faith in God. Amen. So who are you, O great mountain? See, and this, and it goes in line. Ned, hear me here. Right here is where it becomes important that when we pray against things like this clinic, we're not solely going to God asking Him to do something about it. You can go to the doors of that place and speak to the spirit that's motivating those things to happen, and you command it to shut down. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Why? Because you've been removed and put in the sea. Glory to God. And notice this, and he shall bring forth the capstone. You know what that is? He's going to put the cherry on top. The roof's going to get put on. In other words, this temple's going to get done. And notice this, with shouts of grace, grace to it. What does that mean? That means that when they finish this project, when they accomplish everything God's called them to do, they ain't going to be able to stand there pulling on their suspenders saying, "Woo, look what we done." They're going to say, "It got done by grace." And only by grace. Amen. Grace, grace to it. Hey, hold your place here. Go over to Mark chapter 4. Let me show you something good. This is an eternal principle of the kingdom of God. How many of you know Jesus told a lot of parables about the kingdom of God? And in one of them, we see here in Mark chapter 4, I believe it's in verse 26, Bruce. Thank you, Jesus. Beginning in verse 26, it says, "And he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Notice the word "if" there. You know what that means? You got a part to play in it. You know, it's a matter of whether if you do it or not. Well, no, I believe that this man here is Jesus. No, notice what it says. "And should sleep by night and rise by day." The Bible says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. This couldn't be talking about God. It's talking about man. It's talking about you. That if you will scatter seed on the ground and then go take a nap. What does that mean? Not go sow some seed and then labor and toil to try to make it happen. Your job is to take the seed, put it in the ground, and go take a nap. Sleep by day, rise by night, whatever. And then the seed should sprout and grow. Look at this right here. "And he himself does not know how." That's the most significant part of this parable. In other words, do you understand? I don't know how a seed has programmed in it that when you put it in the ground, something happens to where it starts producing the image that it was designed to produce. But here's the awesome thing. You don't have to know how it works. All you got to know is that it does work, and if I'll just do what God told me to do and put it in the ground, come on now. And this is, it works this way for your marriage. It works this way for your ministry. It works your way for what we are doing here tonight. It's all about sowing seeds, one brick at a time. Amen. And you don't even know how to do it. So when somebody comes to you and says, "Man, how did you get so spiritual? How are you seeing all this fruit in your life, brother? How is all this happening?" You just basically have to throw your hands up and say, "Grace, grace." Amen. It's all grace. And it's the only way God produces things. Amen. So go back over to Zechariah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I came tonight. Praise God. This is always encouraging. This applies to everybody on any level. This is how things work in the kingdom of God. So with shouts of grace, grace to it. Look at verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Now, I'm thinking of a scripture when I saw that right there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. How about this? This is the confidence we have in him. Hallelujah. That we can be confident in this. Notice this right here. That the good work he began, he will complete. I can't tell you how many times the Lord's ever said that promise to me right here. When you have the temptation to think, how's it going to get done? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. What are we all going to do? And we always want to know what we're going to do. Sometimes the only thing we need to do is just stand. If it's going to get done, God, it's going to happen by grace. Amen. And that's why it just irks me sometimes when people say, well, I guess all we can do is pray. What else are you going to do? What else are you trying to do? Like, pray is like the last thing you should be doing. It's the first thing you should be doing. Amen. Amen. But we get in the arm of the flesh. I'm telling you, us type A personalities out there. If it's going to get right, it's going to get done right here. And sometimes you got to learn to just say, and this is the hardest thing to do, Lord, bow your knee. And let God be God. Let him be glorified by putting your focus and attention over on him. So he's going to finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? Now, we quote that verse all the time. What's the context of that? Who has despised the day of small things? See, I'm sure it seemed like a small thing. Like, for example, when he says, who are you, O great mountain? And Zerubbabel's looking at that. What, you know what that mountain could have been? It could have been the pile of rubble from Solomon's old temple. Staring him in the face. Man, how are we ever going to get this done? Because we ain't got no might. We ain't got no power. How are we ever going to accomplish this? And this is the word that comes. Says, it don't matter what you got in your hands in terms of your own strength. It only matters what you got in your heart. This is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. So who's despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. And it reminds me of one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to do what? Show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart's perfect towards him. Those whose hearts humble towards him, fully engaged towards him, and totally in love with him. Those are the people God can say, I can use them. I can't use all these other people that are trying to do it in their own self. I can use that person. And I can do marvelous things. So now let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is my first close. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In this chapter, we have great jumping Jehoshaphat. Amen. The great king of Judah that accomplished a mighty thing here and saw a mighty deliverance. But I want you to notice in the midst of it, in verse 12, they began praying to the Lord. And he says here, oh, our God, will you not judge them? Listen, notice this. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Hallelujah. You know, it's an okay place to be sometimes when you say, I ain't got no power, and I don't know what to do, Lord. And when you get to that place, I think it was Joyce Meyer that did that one time. She was trying so hard to free herself of all her carnality, of all her former abuse as a child. And finally, when she was trying to do everything she could to become holy and become free, she throws herself down on her bathroom floor. You know, you get serious, you get down on the bathroom floor. And she throws herself down and she said, that's it. I quit. I quit. I'm not doing this. And she heard the Holy Ghost say, really? In other words, finally, Now that you've stopped trying to do it yourself, now I can get involved.
Amen.
Amen. Let God be God. Glory to Jesus. So then it says in verse 13, now, this is what they did after they prayed. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of who? Zechariah. Now, I don't know if this is the same prophet, Zechariah. I don't believe it is. There's a lot of Zechariahs in the Bible, but I certainly think it is a coincidence, or I would say a godsidence, that his name's even mentioned. Because you're about to hear that's coming out of the mouth of Jehaziel here, the same message of God's grace. Look at this. He goes on to list how he's a son of all these different people. And then verse 15, it says, he said, listen, all you of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, I could go into a lot of detail there, but essentially it's saying this, you're going to be saved by grace, not of your works. The battle's God's. In fact, he said, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed, for the battle is not yours but God's. You know what that means? The only time we ever get afraid and dismayed, you know what that means? We don't see the battle as God's. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the battle is not yours but God's. If you are fearing and being dismayed, it's because you don't see the battle as God's. How many of you believe God ever loses a battle? Are you ever afraid? Do you stay up at night wringing your hands saying, oh man, God, this might be too big for God. This might be hard for God. Do you ever do that? No, you don't do that. You only do that when you see the battles as your own battles. So if you see them as God's, no sweat, baby. No problem. Piece of cake to God. Hallelujah. My father in the faith says that all the time. People come up to him, oh, I got this disease and it's all this big. He goes, piece of cake. Amen. Just piece of cake. It's no problem to God. It's not going to dim the lights of heaven for him to exert enough power to heal you of that big thing. God's bigger than the boogeyman. Amen. Glory to Jesus. And then he goes on to say after this, tomorrow go down, and then he says in verse 17, and you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And notice, what did he say there? Position yourself. Then notice, what does that mean? Then notice how they positioned themselves. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. This, my friends, is how you get guaranteed victory every single time. Is the Lord says, the battle's not yours, it's mine. Just position yourself. What's the position? Lord, I worship you. I magnify your name. You are greater than this mountain. And God, I give you the praise and the honor and declare that, Lord, this is your battle. Lord, you got mail. Lord, this is on you. If it's going to get done, it's going to have to be by you. And you told me to do this. You called me to do this. So I just lift my hands in worshiping you that where you guide, you definitely provide. And you are going to supply my every need and all the grace that I need, because I declare it's not by my might nor by my power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of the living God that this good work's going to be accomplished. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's stand on our feet then. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. Come on, let's lift our hands up. It's time to position ourselves to worship God. and declare that He is going to do all the things He's called us to do, accomplish His good pleasure. His good pleasure, here's those words again, His good pleasure in our life. He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Lord, we thank You for that. You are accomplishing Your good pleasure in our lives, and I give You praise, honor, and glory for how You're unifying Your saints. You're accomplishing a good work here, Lord. And we do not despise the day of small beginnings. Ha ha, tiri kosta. Grondereshne magala zibogunjda. Ben gave zolo guza, je ganamanze. Kende monsa, solomon sakarate, che te kama, promo onkese, leston on, olo chenana, chemasto, krabelen, istononche, vege zimonji galaze, kohonde, saprane, lo osidace, vengi, bonunziga. Who has despised the day of small beginnings, saith the Lord? For I have put my grace in your hands. I have put my words in your mouth. Therefore, take the things which I have sown into you and sow them in this dark and perverse generation. For then your light will shine forth as the darkness, and you will perform all my pleasure. For it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom, O little flock. Therefore, do not be fearing. Do not be dismayed, but receive the good pleasure of your heavenly Father, who said, I will perform everything in your life according to your heart's desire, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Father. And we love you with all of our hearts. And we thank you for this bond of unity that you have accomplished here, Lord, and you're continuing to work in our midst. And we thank you that it's going to go to new levels. Thank you, Father. It's an ever-increasing kingdom. So this is just the beginning. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, this is just the beginning. That if we'll put all of our hearts and minds into what we're doing, prayerfully sow into this, we will reap the righteousness that the Lord desires. But it's on us. If a man would scatter seed. If a man. So Lord, we thank you. And we commit to you that we will be good stewards of the seed you have given us. Of all the talents, the minus, all the gifts that you've put on the inside of us so that we can accomplish what you want to do. And we thank you today that it's only going to be done by the grace of God. And I hear the Lord saying for the psalmist, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. They labor in vain. So Lord, we want you to do the building. And we thank you, Father, for what you are doing in our midst. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God's doing good things, saints. Amen. Amen.